Our scripture today will be from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. And let's pray before we start reading this. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you for your guidance today as we read your word. We thank you for your grace and mercy that helps us to read it together. Enter our hearts so we may hear what you have for us, and we might use it in a way that you desire us to. We also pray this day for your mercy in the expounding of the word. May it too be used for your glory. We thank you for your glorious love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Hear now God's word. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oh, wow, we're early. I got lots of time to talk today. Anyway, this is our, we're continuing from our last week's message. Last week was all about joy. And what we had discussed about last week is the necessity of joy in our lives. And that there are some people who come by joy very easily. They live a positive life. They understand that God is at the center of who they are. God's at the center of this world. That nothing in this life, refer to scripture, nothing in this life can separate us from the love of God. And they live this. They know it. And nothing can bring them down. It seemed like life could fall apart around them, and yet they still maintain this knowledge that Christ is with them and everything's going to be okay. Some people come by this very naturally. It's very easy for them. And then there's other people, such as myself, where it's a bit more difficult. Joy doesn't always come easy. It's something that needs practice. You've heard the phrase, fake it till you make it. Sometimes joy is that sort of thing. When life seems to be falling apart, we need to understand that God is there. Perfect example was that I gave last week was someone commented how beautiful the sunshine was, and I had said, yeah, but it's 10 degrees outside, you know. It's what we focus on in life, and it's what drives us. And for some people, it's God. And it's all about God. And our scripture this week kind of reiterates that how important it is to have that proper center, to trust in that proper thing. A story. There once was a man who was taking a hike in a forest that he didn't know very well and eventually got lost. The sun went down on him and it became very dark. And as he was trying to find his way through the woods, he heard a growling sound, and he looked back and he saw a hulking shape, furry, with the teeth. The moon was glinting off of the teeth, and the eyes shone, and he knew it was a bear. And he started running from the bear, and he ran through the woods, not knowing where he was going, getting hit in the face by branches, and he held his arms up to protect his face. And all of a sudden, he careened off of a cliff. And as he was falling down the cliff, he was ping-ponging back and forth, remember that game in, Price is Right, Plinko? He was doing one of those things all the way down the cliff. And eventually he was able to grab on to a branch. And as he was grabbing onto the branch, he swung his feet up on the branch too so that he was holding tightly, you know, like a possum. And he looked up and he saw the moon shine off the bear's eyes. And he looked down and all he could see was darkness, utter darkness. And he prayed to God and he said to God, "Lord, please help me." And God said to the man, "Let go." And the man said, "No, God, that's really not the best advice that you've ever given to me. I think I'm going to hold on." And the man started weighing his options, and he looked up, and the bear was still there, and he couldn't climb up anyway if he tried. And he looked down, and it was just vast darkness everywhere. And he prayed to God, "Lord God, please, seriously, help me." And he heard a voice spoken very clearly, and it said, "Let go." And he looked up and he saw the bear, and he looked down and he saw vast darkness, and he said to God, "Again, Lord, you're not on your A game today. This is terrible advice. I'm not going to let go." And he hung there for a little bit longer and he prayed to God and he said, "Lord, my strength is failing. Help me." And God said, "Let go." And the man said, "Lord, you're silly. I will not be letting go." But the decision was quickly being taken out of his hands as his muscles were trembling. His feet all of a sudden slipped, and he held on with both hands as hard as he possibly could. But he felt his fingers start to pull away from the branch, and he cried out to God, "Lord, help me." And God said, "Let go." And the guy said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me." And he slipped off the branch and fell 3 inches to the ground. The problem, or maybe not problem, but the one of the gifts that God has given us to this in this world are our five senses. Now, as I was preparing this, I tried to think about what the five senses are, and I could only come up with four. I almost Googled it, but I finally figured it out. So the five senses that God has blessed us with are, in no particular order, taste, touch, smell, sight, and hearing. Now, those five senses that we have within ourselves are very important for us to understand this world that we live in. The world that we live in, we gain information in a variety of ways, and those five senses we have help pick those up. We see a cloud coming, and that helps us to understand the reason that we have within ourselves, our center. Our experiences, the things that we understand in the world, help us understand that rain is probably on its way. Now, those five senses that we have are then placed, that information we gain from it, are then calculated, again, by our center. Now, what's at our center is of the utmost importance. In our scripture that we have today, there are two centers here that are in the forefront. The first center is strength in mortals and strength in the flesh. And the second center is trust in God. Our five senses tell us, for example, with the children's chat, that bridge that was old, rickety, and broken, we should not walk across. Because our experience has shown us that wood that is falling apart probably won't hold our weight. The man who was hanging by the branch on the cliff, his five senses told him that only death awaits below him, because he saw darkness. He saw a bear above him, and he understood that he would not survive this. Our five senses are used a lot in this world, but not always can our five senses, or I should say this, not always do our five senses tell the entire story. Our scripture in Jeremiah comes at a time where Israel is under threat by a larger army. And this army is going to wipe Israel off the map and take its people into exile. The people, using their five senses, look at this army and say, we're doomed. We need help. Jeremiah comes and says, you're right. You need help. Trust in God. The Israelites said instead, we need help. We're going to go ask Egypt. Egypt has a large army. They go over to Egypt. Egypt says, we'll give you a hand. Jeremiah says, you're not doing right. You're using your center is the trust of mortal man, and it will fail you. And indeed it did. When the army came to fight Israel, Egypt stayed away, and they didn't help Israel at all. We do a lot of trusting in our own strength and our own flesh. We judge the situations that we come up against based upon the powers that are there. We come up to a rock wall and see if we can climb it, and we look at it and we say, nope, that's not for me. How many of you have ever been to what's that place? Seneca Rocks in West Virginia. If you ever have an opportunity and you like doing road trips, Seneca is beautiful. You come down a valley, come down from a big hill down into a valley, and as the valley opens up, there's this giant 200-foot rock pillar. And it just kind of comes out of nowhere. And people climb this thing all the time. And I look at this rock wall, and I gauge my own strength with it, and I think, nope, I'm not going to get to the top of that. But thankfully, for those of you who enjoy walking, there is a trail that goes up the backside and can put you at the very top of this thing. Beautiful view. And we base what direction we go based upon the strength and the abilities that we have. The church also uses or is tempted to use the strength of mortals to judge how things are going. Oftentimes, and in my experience as pastor and as a lay person growing up, and other people that I've talked to, when you ask how your church is doing, oftentimes they will respond by saying one of two things. We're doing great. We have lots of money in the bank. Or things are not going well. We only had 10 people show up to church the other day. It's using our five senses to gauge things based upon worldly standards. Sometimes we forget stories like how God has taken the five loaves and the seven fish, or vice versa, and fed 5,000 people. That the numbers don't matter, but yet it's God who's the center that matters. Jeremiah takes this idea and says to the people, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals, in mere strength, flesh for their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. But then the people who trust in God, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. It shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out roots by the stream. It shall not fear when he comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Many of you are familiar with a little church called Penn. Familiar with Penn Methodist Church? Penn Church is now closed, and has been closed for a number of years. As they saw their numbers dwindle and the bank accounts start to fade away, they realized that they can still do ministry. They can still show God's love. To the very last day that they were a church together, they served God in any way they could. They used what they had to love God in the many ways that they were able to. And when they ceased being a church together, they left a legacy. they touch the lives of many. I see people in this world who live a life of trust in God. They get a cancer diagnosis and they say to God, "It's you, Lord. Whatever you want, I will live my life the best I can." And to see them and to talk to them, you would never know. Because they live their life in joy, knowing that God directs their steps one day at a time. And that ultimately their hope rests on Jesus Christ. They will be with Christ forever. I used to do a funeral message, and sometimes still do on occasion, where it talks about the promises of God and how the promises of God we can be trusted always. In this, it talks about in John chapter 14 that the peace of God passes all understanding, and that God gives us His peace, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. And I do this thing where we judge how those promises are worldly, how the worldly promises look, and how the godly promises look. The truth is that we can trust, we can put our trust in this world because the world writes us lots of promises, doesn't it? The world says to us that if we go to college and we get this wonderful degree and then we go to a job, that this job then we can be in this job for 40 years, gain a nice pension, and then we can retire. Problem is that's not everybody's story. They go to college, spend lots of money, get a wonderful education. They go to an internship, they get hired at this job, and they spend however many years there, and then the job has to downsize. They get laid off or fired, no fault of their own, they didn't do anything wrong, they're great workers. It just couldn't be afforded and anymore. That promise of a life being taken care of by their job goes away. Two people standing at an altar looking at one another with such love in their eyes promise till death do us part. With a 52% divorce rate in this world, it doesn't always end that way. When you have a child, you hold this child in your arms, you imagine the child's life as the child looks back at you. You know in your heart that the child will one day bury you, and then you one day bury the child. These are the realities of this world. This world writes us so many promises, and it just doesn't work. All the time. Sometimes it does. But the promises that God gives us, when God is our center, when our five senses are telling us one thing, God can come down and say to us, "It's going to be okay." When God is telling us, or when the world is telling us that all things are falling apart, God can come down and tell us through Jesus Christ that everything will work out. It doesn't mean that everything will turn out exactly the way we want it, but it means that we will be able to get through. It means that even in the midst of whatever is crumbling around us, that God will help us put one foot in front of the other. Or, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. In the armor of God, we put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword, the shield. For what purpose? Not to fight, but to stand. When everything tumbles down around us, trusting in God as our center, we know we'll be able to stand when all is said and done. Not trusting in this world. The foundation oftentimes comes out from below us. But trusting in God will stand to the very end. Jeremiah wanted that for his people. God wanted that for His people and told them through Jeremiah. I pray that we listen and that all things, no matter how things look, we trust in God, knowing that in the end, Christ will be standing with us. We thank God for that. Well, let's pray. And we'll close in prayer. Dear Lord, we pray that when we see this world or experience it, that we help you to interpret what it is that we see. But in all things, we're able to trust you and know that you've got this and that you have us. Help us to go into this world. As we leave this place, help us to understand that we are not leaving church. We're taking church into the world. And we may share your love with those around us, reminding them that you have this. Lord, we thank you for that love which sustains us always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go in peace.